Well, do keep your Bibles open in Acts chapter 14 as we come to this chapter in God's Word. Let's join together in prayer as we do so. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's just about gone 12:30, or just about to come to 12:30, and I trust that by now you will have gone through a door or two. Hopefully by now you're up and you've gone through your bedroom door, the bathroom door, the kitchen door, even the front door or the back door or the car door if you've gone outside. We all go through doors, many doors, day and daily. Here in Acts chapter 14, towards the end of this chapter, verse 27, we have reference made to the door of faith. That's a statement made by the Apostle Paul, who's reporting on a preaching tour in an area of modern-day Turkey. He's telling the church in his report of all that God had done through him and Barnabas, and he says how God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's what I want us to dwell upon today, the door of faith, how God has opened the door of faith. And I want to catch something of the wonder of that and of the glory of that as we try to understand what exactly lies behind it. First of all, I want to say that this is a door that God has opened in love. And please do notice that it is God who has opened the door of faith. It's not Paul's doing, it's not Barnabas's doing. It's not the church in some vague sense that has opened the door of faith. It is God who has opened in love the door of faith. Up to this time, the door of faith had been open only to the Jews. Salvation was for the ethnic Jewish nation. They were a small and insignificant nation wedged in the Middle East between the superpowers of the day. They were Abraham's children, they were Moses' children, David's children, Deborah's children. But they were a small ethnic group, and salvation was of the Jews. But now something breathtaking has happened, because in addition to salvation still being for the Jews, now God has opened the door for non-Jews, for Gentiles, that they too may come into the kingdom of God. Think of it a little bit something like this. You go to the gate of a factory, say, and the steel door is only partially opened, and it lets one person in at a time. But at quitting time, they slide the steel door completely open, and dozens, even scores of workers can leave the factory in a very short period of time. That's what's being said here about the door of faith. Once it was open only slightly, and that to the Jews, one by one. But now the gate has been fully opened and God has done it. In the words of the hymn, "Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in." And the gospel, you see, as Paul makes clear in Acts chapter 14, is about what God has done. It's not about what you do or a church leader does or some church does. It's about what God has done. That there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a way that is open and all may come in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. So the door of faith is a door that God has opened in love. But secondly, it is a door to enter in faith. And this is where the people of Lystra went wrong earlier in the record in chapter 14 of the book of Acts. When Paul and Barnabas arrived in Lystra, there was a man crippled in his feet, lame from birth, we are told. He had never walked. And it is always sad to see someone who has been so afflicted from the womb. And that's this man here in Acts chapter 14. But as Paul looked at him that day, Paul saw that God had given this man faith. And because he had the faith to be healed, Paul said to him, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Paul hadn't touched him. He hadn't waved his hand over him in some way. He just spoke to him. He just gave him God's word. "Stand up on your feet." And by faith the man responded. He believed and he walked by faith and by faith alone. And what a picture that is, that when God calls you, when his word convicts you, you obey it. You stand up on your feet and walk, as it were, like Enoch who walked with God in the book of Genesis. You do what God is telling you to do. Stand up on your feet and walk. And this man is a picture of what it means to put your faith into God and to find salvation and health and healing of soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people watching on got the wrong end of the stick, and they thought actually the Roman gods had come down to earth. They called Barnabas Zeus. They called Paul Hermes. They even called for the local priest to come and offer animal sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. In other words, this is where they went wrong. They were putting their faith into Paul. They were putting their faith into Barnabas, trusting in men, hoping that flesh and blood would be their salvation. But look at Paul, verse 14. When they heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men like you, only human beings like you." Because the good message is not about men. The good message, he goes on to say, is about the true and the living God who made heaven and earth your maker. The message is about him and what he has done. God is kind in providing you with food and rain to make things grow. God is patient. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, but these days are now over, and it's time to consider your ways, is the implication, to turn to this God who provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy, says verse 17. But you see why Paul is doing this. He is saying to these people, don't put your faith in me and Barnabas. Don't put your faith in animal sacrifices and priests. Don't put your faith in a church or in good deeds or in your wealth or in your health. Put your faith in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verse 3, Paul talks about the message of his grace. Put your faith into that grace, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I wonder if you step forward to walk through that door. Maybe, ladies, a man has sometimes held the door open for you. Hope, men, you do hold the door open for ladies. And the lady has stepped through the door as you've held it for her. Well, God has opened the door in grace. It's wide open. Often it's pride that holds people back, or some darling sin they don't want to give up, or some excuse the devil is whispering in your ear. But today Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Today I say to you, enter in at the door, at the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up on your feet and walk through the door, because this is a door to enter in faith. It's a door that God has opened in love. The just shall live by faith. Put your faith into the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this is a door that God has opened. This is a door to enter in faith. Thirdly, this is a door that leads to hope. Now, why do I say that? We live in a time where people are looking for hope. We're conscious that we're going through a storm as a nation, as a world, and we're looking for hope. Well, this is a door that leads to hope. And the people who have gone through this door have discovered the hope of the gospel, as it is called, the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know who those people are? How can you tell them what's significant about their lives? Well, let's go back to Paul in verse 19 of Acts chapter 14. There we're told that whenever he had preached the message, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. I suppose he must have been knocked out by one of the stones, and it's a reminder to us of the cost of bringing the gospel very often that people have to pay. But look at verse 20. After the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. But the bit of the verse that amazes me is that he got up and went back into the city. Or look at verse 21. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, the place where he had been stoned and left for dead. Paul went back to it to strengthen the disciples, to encourage them to remain true to the faith, to ordain elders. In other words, to establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to do that work, it takes sacrifice, it takes guts. This work is not done by folk who just get easily blown off course by the slightest little thing that just comes along to hurt them, or the slightest little thing that blows them off course. The believers who have discovered Christ, they are the ones who stick at it faithfully. They are the ones who keep on going on with the Lord. They are the ones who are faithful, who persevere. And they are the ones who will determine that no matter what, they will serve the Lord. The part of the verse that really lit up for me as I read Acts chapter 14, I'm sure you've noticed the many lights that are appearing all across the country. I think people are taking refuge this year and taking comfort from an early preparation for Christmas. But when I was reading this chapter, it's like verse 22 is in lights for me here today, where Paul says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Or in the King James Version, we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. Ask people, are they saved? And they'll say, well, I've made a commitment. I raised my hand at a meeting. I said a prayer one day, maybe years ago. Those aren't the tests of whether someone has gone through the door of faith and whether they've found this hope of the gospel or not. The test is, have they persisted in the faith? Are they persevering? Whatever is thrown at them in life or by life, are they doggedly pressing on with the Lord and walking with Him, believing in Him, trusting that with Him all is well and that the best is yet to be? Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. When he says perseverance, it's just not a kind of a doer, just getting on with it, hoping for the best type of thing that he's talking about. No, the gospel, when it talks about the hope of the gospel, it's a perseverance that is godly, that is joyful, that is trusting in the Lord. I quoted old Alexander White at the midweek on Wednesday, and he said, just to give you that quote again, perseverance means falling down and getting up, falling down and getting up all the way to heaven. How precious is the perseverance of the saints. They haven't yet seen heaven. They haven't yet seen hope, home, but they hope for it. They haven't yet seen Christ, but they hope for it. The gospel is just not hope for the best. The gospel is because I have seen Christ. One day I'll be there. One day I'll be glorified. Whatever is thrown at me in this life, whatever hardships I face, whatever tests or tribulations, we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I end by referring to the prophet Hosea in chapter 2 of his great prophecy. And there he talks about how the valley of Achor becomes a door of hope. The word Achor means trouble. The place of trouble becomes a door of hope. Jesus in the garden, remember, in the garden of Gethsemane, was troubled. As the weight of the sin of the world came upon him, he was troubled in that garden. But that trouble became for you and for me because of the cross of Calvary, our door of hope, our hope of being saved, our hope of being forgiven, our hope of heaven forever with Christ. Because God is in this, you see. God is at work. And maybe today there's trouble in your life and you're struggling. My friend, has not God allowed that troubling? Believe that if you go through the door of hope today and tomorrow and the next day, all the way to heaven, His grace has brought you safe thus far, and grace will bring you home. I tell you, going through this door of faith takes you on a great adventure. In so many ways, it's the adventure of your life to see where God takes you, how God changes you, how God uses you, how He brings you through. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. What a hope. We're going to sing that in a moment or two. What a hope, what a faith, what a love we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened this door of faith to us. Savior, if of Zion City, I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all is boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. And that's our hope. In the storm, that is our hope. And that's why today I say this door of faith that God has opened is a door that leads to hope. Hope of salvation, hope of glory, hope of heaven. Not because of my hold on Christ, but because of Christ's hold on me. Let's pray.